Free Fire Radio is about to commence.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott, and it is September 3rd, and it is 7:06 in the morning. Our phone lines here are 530-605-4567, or just go to KCNR1460.com today and join us on the chat room, or you can write to Linda at linda@kcnr1460.com. Try to get all that housekeeping stuff out right away.
All right.
Of course, we're always... Okay. Bob brought Brenda today, or Brenda brought Bob today, and she dressed him in his flaming purple and red Hawaiian shirt that looks like, you know, have you ever seen that movie Flash Gordon? The one from back in the 70s that Queen did the album for.
Wonder Woman, a blonde Wonder Woman.
With less clothes than she usually has. And so, Bob, I think
it's kind of a stylized 1930s Pulp Fiction cover type thing.
Yeah, I like that, Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction. So, and the rockets. What are those little rockets down there around the waist?
I believe it's just an artist conception.
And speaking of rockets, red glare, bombs bursting in air. There she is, Linda Bott.
Oh, speaking of hot... In the shirts that I'm looking at, it's going to be 101 today. Oh, gosh, can you believe that? You know, so hydrate, and...
Move your head, Bob.
Currently 68 degrees. You know, I wanted to read this to you guys because it's Labor Day weekend, okay? And one of the things that I love it when I get, you know, wonderful safety tips, this is emailing things. This is just for you to be mindful of. AAA expects 34.4 million people to travel at least 50 miles from home between September 2nd and September 6th. That is up 10% from 2009. In a case of interest, here are some last-minute Labor Day trips tips for you drivers. I want you to think about this now. Of course, you know, just be mindful. Drive slower and keep a greater distance from the car in front of you. Did you hear that, Carl?
I think that drafting behind cars in the freeway saves you gas. You get that 3 inches away from them, and they just kind of pull you down the road.
Wet surfaces require 2 to 10 times more stopping distance than dry ones.
Not if you go sideways.
Okay, here's something that we need to think of, really, because it's so hot up here. Swap the heels or flip-flops or loafers or sneakers, and don't... I don't know what that means. Swap the heels or flip-flops or loafers or sneakers, and don't forget to adjust your seat accordingly.
Should it be four? Swap the heels for flip-flops?
It says, well, it could be four.
Yeah, that would make sense because heels tend to get stuck in the accelerator mechanism.
It says or. There's no F there, but let's just be mindful of our heels because they do get caught in them. Always keep a pair of strong...
Mine have never gotten caught.
Shades handy. The sun could be blinding. If someone cuts you off and you begin to lose cool...
Wave your 45 at them. Tell them, never do that again.
Remember, it's not personal. Really, it will be more...
Oh, wait a minute. See, it's not personal if you're a woman. If you're a man, I could say, wait a minute.
Oh, I hate road rage.
Yeah.
It's just not worth it. I'd rather just, like, sit there and listen to cool, like, one of my favorite CDs.
We have backed off before, and especially coming back on, a Sunday evening or a Monday afternoon on a holiday.
I have to give you a transfusion. You got veins popping out.
I just back off. You know, I'm real nice about the whole thing.
Don't drink and drive, obviously. On an average, one person dies every 33 minutes due to an intoxicated driver.
Now, that is serious. You know, we've had people killed up here. We've had people die up here for intoxication. Drinking and driving on a weekend like this can cause nothing but...
You know, a lot of times we take our cars advantage... I mean, what do you want to take it? You just consider your car's really in great shape and you just get it and go. Okay, so if you get up and you're ready to go, is your car? Check the levels of your tires, get a full tank of gas, any evidence you think you know where you're going. A map doesn't hurt. These are just things about being organized.
I don't need a map. Men don't need maps. We just know by DNA... where we are going.
Stuck in traffic? Cure your boredom with good tunes and entertaining podcasts. Not your cell phone. Drivers on cell phones are 4 times more likely to be involved in a serious accident.
It's against the law.
Well, we in Washington, we saw people talking on the phones.
We see people in Reading talking on the phones.
Yeah. Well, we...
Including the police who are actually checking, you know, they've been told to call and check in things because they don't want to put it out over the radio.
I'm going to put out a question because I'm thinking about it. The kids are coming over for Christmas. I'm really, really excited about it. We've got a 5- and a 7-year-old grandkid. Okay, safety seats. What's the law? Where do we get them? What do we have to do?
I'm sure we'll figure it out.
Is it 4 feet? They have to be up four. If they're under 4 feet, do we need child seats? So if you know, do give us a call. The phone lines are open. It's 605-4567. This is Carl and Linda Butt. Thanks for being with us this morning. This is great. We're on KCNR 1460, and we will be right back.
Your symptom.
KCNR 14. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. It's 7:14 in the morning. How are you doing? It's going to be a great day today. It's September 3rd. Our phone line's here, 605-4567. We have somebody on that line.
Yes.
Good morning, Jay.
Good morning. How are y'all doing today?
We're great, Jay. How are you?
Doing good. You got back from your trip in one piece, I see.
Yes,
it was a fine trip.
We are together.
Well, you know, everybody did a good job when you were gone, but it's sure nice to have you back.
Well, thank you. What's on your mind?
You know, not too much. I just wanted to say good morning and see how you're doing. And I laughed at Carl's remark about men are genetically able to find things. Yeah, by Braille, maybe.
We can't ask.
I think they heard that at the Donner Party too, right?
Yeah,
we're not lying. We're all right.
No, we're okay. We'll be able to get through here.
It's just snow.
Well, you know, this goes back to this. You know, the man's DNA. Since mankind was conceived, and we've moved through our evolution here, and that. You know, we've been trained. Our DNA has been trained to do certain things, like sit in those places for a long time. That's why we can sit on that couch and that. And the remote control, of course, takes the place of that spear we used to do when we were hunting all the time. So that's why we have to hold it. And then that's why we always know where we're going, because we have it ingrained into our brain that we always know where north is and where to take that right turn. And if you believe all that.
It reminds me of an old show. It was a goofy little show, and There was a tribe called the Hekawi Indians, and they said, "How'd you get your name?" "Well, many moons ago, we were traveling for many moons in the snow, and finally the chief's son said, 'Where the heck are we?' And ever since then, we've been known as the Hekawi Indians."
Oh. Well, we were reaching for that one. I've heard about that tribe. Okay, Jay, thank you so much.
Day.
Yeah, thanks
all right,
a
Jay.
Lot. Hey, you know what? As usual, yesterday you heard it first, and it's on the front page of the Record Searchlight today, is that the Second Amendment is still alive. It's not, you know, it's not like a 250-pound weightlifting behemoth, but it is still alive. Three proposals that was in the legislature died, and we talked a little bit about this yesterday. The proposed laws would have banned the open carry of handguns in public, created a registration system for those who purchase rifles and handguns, and expanded a bill that requires registration of those who purchase handgun ammo. Okay, something else. What just came on?
That's me.
Okay, turn it off.
Wait a minute. I'm trying to find it.
what happened then is it didn't get out of the assembly and didn't pass. So in other words, where you're going to have to register your rifles and shotguns is not going to occur. The open carry thing, where open carry law, where it banned people carrying a weapon in the open that was unloaded, also failed. And then the one about on the registration of the ammo, you have to show your thumbprints, and this expands, and you have to keep records of all ammunition sales, not handgun sales, but ammunition sales, my friends. This law in itself is so odiferous. I mean, what is the purpose of knowing that Smiling Sean, who's in here working, day one of our interns, buys a box of .22 ammunition to shoot? Now, because that handgun ammunition, you know, it could be anything that can be used in a handgun. They don't care if it can be used in a rifle, or you buy it for a rifle as long as it can be used in a handgun. So you buy a box of .22 ammunition. You have to register. Yes, that's right. Register it And what is just the bookkeeper on this? How much is this going to cost? With a million things that can be done to help our economy, to help our state, they are so wound up about taking the rights away from law-abiding individuals, they could care less about if this budget's balanced. No, they don't care about that. They care about Smiling Sean having a box of 22 ammunition, yet he can walk right next door and buy a pound of federally banned marijuana because his toe hurts. Or so he says. Now, put down the pens. Step away from the keyboards. We don't care about medicinal marijuana. This is just an example of how ridiculous this can get. You can't buy a box of 22 ammunition without giving a thumbprint and keeping records. Well, there's sheriffs that are going against this. There's trials going on about that. But again, at least the Second Amendment got a little breath of fresh air there, and they backed off on this. And you know what? The main reason they backed off, I'm sure, is just because it was going to cost money. They had no money to do this. It's not because common sense just kind of swept through there. Though you kind of hope maybe that had something to do with it. Hey, we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we've got a couple other topics, and then our guest is coming in, who is beginning a new show right here on KCNR. And in fact, it's a completely new kind of show. It's a different show. And we can't wait to introduce him to our audience. It's Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio.
We'll see you after these messages.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott, 7:23 in the morning, 605-4567, KCNR1460.com. Hop on to the chat room.
Currently 66 degrees. It's going to be high today of 101. By the way, the weather's always brought to you by Ensalmo Vineyards, and we're very excited about the fact that we are going to be out there. We've got a bunch of dates that we're putting together now, so stay tuned. Next week we'll make an announcement. There will be music up at Ensalmo in September,
music.
October, November, and December. So, yeah, we'll be making that announcement pretty soon. But, wow, coming up at 8 o'clock, we've got a very interesting guest that's going to be talking about water. And
Mark Baird.
It's something that is really, we've always talked about the water wars are just alive and right in our face. And wouldn't you know, it's very appropriate that we have our guest on today when...
Yeah, because the federal government has just declared a natural disaster area in the California-Oregon border region to bring relief to farmers and ranchers stricken by an ongoing drought. It's more than that. It looks like that he's going to be talking about, it's not just the drought, it's the diversion of water to aid federally protected salmon and suckerfish species have led to a steep drop in water available. And people are being destroyed because the Fish and Game Department, according to the people up there, and again, this is their side of it, that the Fish and Game Department is taking their water. And how is this affecting them? And we're talking about it, that it's been declared a natural disaster area, which means then they get loans and to be able to make it through. Mark Baird will be on today at 8, and he's also going to say, you know, how can this affect us down here in Shasta County? So I think this is going to be an interesting program. We've talked to him before. It seems like that something has to be done about this. You know, the water is going to be, you know, water has become so important and will continue to be even more important in our future. We talk about renewable power sources. You know, oh gosh, we have to get 30% of our power from renewable sources. Well, you know, the wind may always blow and the sun may always shine, but the water will not always flow. And if we don't watch what's happening here, we may lose the ability to control the water that's up here. Now, is this water my private water, your private water, just because it's up in the North State? No, but we need to have a percentage of it. And just because you're in Southern California doesn't mean that your rights are even more important than ours up here in the North State. We see when we were in Palm Springs, we saw all of these, of course, all the golf courses and all the lawns, but they were watering. They were watering the sidewalks. I didn't understand the sidewalk watering. So, anyway, he'll be on at 8 o'clock, and I think we've got another tip coming in from Friday.
So hang around, because at 8 o'clock we're going to be covering some very deep issues that are affecting, that are going to trickle down and affect us here in Reading as well. It affects us all as Californians.
Trickle down because it's a water thing.
Well,
that's
anyway.
Good. No, I like that. That was good.
Hey, we do have Tip of the Week that's on that's here, and we are very excited to have Amy Palko on the phone this morning. Good morning, Amy. Welcome to the show. Hello again.
Good morning, guys. I missed you.
Well, we were in Washington, and now we're back.
I know. Did you have a great time?
We had a great time. We it was a very it was an honor trip, really. We were honoring Carl's cousin and at the burial at Arlington, and we were able to do some wonderful sightseeing. But so what's all the tip of the week?
Well, you know, I get a lot of people who come to me, say, after a month or maybe about 5 to 6 weeks of working out, and they're frustrated and they feel like they should have lost all their weight by now. And what I want to let people know or remind them that the exercise recommendations out there that are to reduce risk of chronic disease, like, you know, heart attacks and stuff like that, the suggestion is to engage in at least 30 minutes of moderate activity most days of the week. To maintain your body weight, it's up to 60 minutes most days of the week. And to sustain weight loss or to have weight loss, it's 60 to 90 minutes most days of the week. So one thing I kind of want to point out to people, that it does take a lot of effort and a lot of work, and nutritionally you need to make sure that you're also eating very clean, because it's 80% coming from that diet. So I just want to let people know that you got to keep plugging away at that exercise. Now, just because it's 30 to 90 minutes does not mean it has to be done all at once or all in a gym. You can accumulate that time. So say you could walk in the morning for 15 minutes, garden in the afternoon, dance in your kitchen for a while, and as long as it all adds up to that time, you're still then equaling the amount of time you need.
Well, I think it's important, and it's never redundant, because how we feel today, as we grow the week, there's so much that happens in a week, that we always love to hear a reminder. It's like when you go out and you see a beautiful day, how could you not be appreciative of the beautiful day? It's a brand new day, and so thank you for calling and give us, just, you know, inspire us to keep our bodies fit.
That's right.
Yeah, Amy is one of the head trainers down at Adamson's Peak Performance.
And a nutritionist.
And a nutritionist, and comes in once a week to tell us better ways of taking care of our bodies. The only thing we have to do is start listening.
That's the key.
There you go. Get off the couch. Listen. Listen to me. Okay. All right, and I will lead you through the path of weight loss and body toning.
That's right.
There you go. Okay, Amy, thanks a lot.
Have a good Labor Day weekend. A safe Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, okay. You guys too.
Thank you.
See you next week.
All right, sounds great.
All right,
bye-bye.
You know, Amy works so hard at this, and she loves what she does. And I asked her, do you ever get, you know, depressed? She goes, no. She says, the thing is that she says she sees people that are on the verge of making a huge breakthrough, and they just don't take that next step. So, hey, we've got, in our next segment, we're going to be talking to our newest showman, Don Shulman. And we'll be talking about his new show that begins September 12th. This is Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Good morning, Reading, Anderson, Cottonwood. All you guys. Yeah. How do you feel this morning? Getting ready for that Labor Day weekend? Be mindful and be careful wherever you're going. It's currently 66 degrees. It's going to be high today. The weather, hot, 103. And I am very excited to have in the studio this morning Don Shulman. And you might have seen this magazine around town. It's called The North State's Premier Wedding Guide, The Bridal Guide. This is for Reading and Chico. And with us is the founder, editor, creator, Mr. In touch with everything regarding weddings, Don Shulman. Good morning, Don.
Good morning. You forgot I also take out the trash.
Okay, well, that's good. See, you have to be able to do all of that. Well, okay, and you've got a show starting this weekend that's called Bridal Talk. We are so thrilled to have you on.
It starts on September 12th.
Oh, I thought
it's
it was okay.
Start September 12th at high noon.
Yes. Yes, and we'll be talking about how to do a wedding budget and how to stick to it. how not to be a bridezilla or have a motherzilla.
A motherzilla. I never heard that expression, motherzilla. And how many weddings have you officiated?
Well, the Record Searchlight did an article on me. I performed over 200 ceremonies.
200?
200. More.
Okay. Let's do a little background on the bridal guide. And, you know, for some reason, I don't know why I was thinking that you were starting this week. And it's September. Let's do that again. Let's clarify the date.
Bridal Talk starts September the 12th. We'll be interviewing brides, their mothers, grooms, and the professionals in the county. They'll be talking about the things that you need to know or things you want to know.
So it will be a call-in show.
Yes.
And you'll have experts on talking about the big day, how to not be taken advantage of, what to look out for.
I had a call from a bride about 2 weeks ago, almost in tears, saying, oh my gosh, we're getting married, what do we do? We were able to put her wedding together very shortly, and she's thrilled. In fact, when I leave here, I'm going to do the marriage ceremony.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So you're out to marry somebody today, are you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we'll have another couple married here, which is surprising. Last year, we had 1,800 marriage licenses taken out in Shasta County. That doesn't mean they were all married here, but a good percentage of them. So we have a lot of wedding activity.
We certainly do. Okay, so let's talk about some of the topics for your show.
Well, what is the timeline? How to prepare one? Wedding traditions.
Well, let me ask a question. I'm going to break in on some of these questions.
Yes, you
can.
When
you say a timeline, you know, I'm thinking, some people's timelines, I mean, everybody's timeline is going to be different. But what would you say is an ideal timeline?
Well, basically, what we do is take the timeline to your comfort zone and your guests. And it keeps things flowing. What do you do when? When you want to eat, when you want the ceremony, when you want the disc jockey to play, when you want to introduce your guests. So it's a timeline, letting everyone know what's going to happen. Not the guests, but you. Takes away the stress and lets things flow at a wedding.
And even though you may have a wedding planner, you still need to have go over these details with the wedding planner.
Yes, wedding planners have their place, and they do a good job. Surprisingly, many people hear wedding planning, and they go, oh, my gosh, I can't afford that. Well, many times a wedding planner will save you more than they cost. And if you do a wedding of 150 people to 200 people, you need someone to help you. In fact, I just finished a $40,000 or $50,000 wedding a couple months ago, and I have a couple coming up where their budget was $1,500, and we were able to give them the wedding they wanted on that budget.
See, that's being creative. You know, one of the things that, you know, we talk about traditions, and it's like don't wear white after Labor Day kind of, you know, stigma or an old, I wonder if Emily Post... Some of the things that perhaps might have been tradition 50 years ago maybe have changed, and that would be our Mother's Day times of where things have changed traditionally. Has much changed?
A lot has changed. The brides are able to do what they want now and able to have the wedding that they without. It's very interesting. Many times the wedding is for the parents, for the family members, coming together, celebrating the marriage. And letting everyone have a great time.
It is, you know, and that's, I think, has led to a lot of pressure on people where the bride and groom may just want to get married. But you're right. Weddings and funerals are for the people in a celebration to remember somebody. In this case, in a wedding, it's for the parents. It's, you know, that this is a huge point in many people's lives. So
we also have some of the best venues in the state here. I do a lot of weddings where people come from other areas to come here to have their wedding. We're becoming a destination wedding. In fact, the other day I was fortunate enough to go see Anselmo Vineyards, and I was blown away. What they're going to do, what they're doing is awesome.
Right.
Just awesome. Then we have venues that people come to me and say, I just can't afford. Can we get... I've got venues for $50, $100. Then we've got the unique venues. We've got Anselmo Vineyards. We've got Riverview. We've got just lots of them here.
I have a question for you quickly before we go to break. You know, as you're driving up 299 and to the left over there before you get to French Gulch. There's that wonderful white, it looks like a hotel where there's a beautiful bridge. That seems...
Powerhouse.
Yeah. That would be a beautiful place to be married, on that bridge.
Tomorrow, I'm doing a wedding right near that spot. So I get around to do weddings. I'm also an officiant. So it is really cool. As I said, I've married over 200. I don't want to tell my wife I've married 200 women.
We're going to take a break. We're here with Don Shulman, who is the editor and the person who put together the Bridal Guide, which is a wonderful magazine, very informational. We'll be right back after these messages.
Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 at 7:45 in the morning. Carl and DeBob. This portion of the show brought to you by PNT Satellite. Out on Airport Road, Doug Tooley, the owner there, has been serving customers here since 1985, except for the time that he was with the 82nd Airborne jumping out of perfectly good airplanes. Of course, people will tell you there's no such thing. He's got the Dish Satellite business out here. He guarantees his work. He's a local guy. We get phone calls from people. We get emails from people. People even, you know, calling the show saying that he does great work, great man to work for. And like I said, he guarantees his work. He's local. You give him a call. You know, put in a surround sound system, a home theater system. He can do it all. That's Doug Tooley, B&T Satellite off Airport Road. His phone number is 244-1988.
Good morning, and again, it's 67 degrees. It's going to be high today of 101. Our guest is Don Shulman, and we are talking about the Bridal Guide, which is a magazine that comes out. It's the North State's premier wedding guide. And we were talking, I've got people coming in the chat room here. This is really fun. What do you mean, no white after Labor Day? That means I have to put away all my T-shirts, you know? I guess that was for women not to wear white after. I'm going to look that up. Again, we're talking about traditions, weddings. Don, what are we also going to be talking about in your new show?
One of the problems that have come up recently is, and it's happening in many, many other places, you get married. You go get your certified copy. You find out you didn't do the proper paperwork, and you're not divorced yet. So we'll be having a guest on to talk about that. Prenuptial agreements. What do you do when you're married and it's your second or third marriage? God forbid someone passes away. The living trust you have is gone, and the estate is tied up by the ex-wife or one of the children. That's one of the topics we're going to be covering. We'll also be talking about photography, the memories. How to get those images that you want. What does it cost? We're going to go into everything. In fact, how to plan your wedding and stay within your budget. Your reception. How do you do that Cinderella reception? Or just the down-home reception you've always dreamed of. Family, friends. And one of the things in this economy, we're not sure what's going to happen. So how do you keep within your budget and have your guests, instead of having 200 guests? I was talking to somebody the other day. I have 200 people. I can't afford what I need to do. How do I do it? Well, you have an intimate wedding with maybe your 40 or 50 guests and do what you want. Then the next day you could have a cake and punch. So there are many ways you can do it. Many serve hors d'oeuvres. Caterers sometimes have a caterer that meets your needs. Everything from a gourmet meal to just... meat and cheese platters, they used to do that years and years ago, and we've gotten away from it. How to not be a me too, tri-tip and chicken. How do you do something different? And we're going to be speaking about all those different things. Find the right gown and the tuxedo.
That's interesting. We were talking about, say you had a $5,000 budget, your dad says, or whatever, you've got saved. Okay, we're going to do, this wedding's going to cost us $5,000. And the bride goes out, she finds a dress, which I can't believe how much, you know, wedding dress really cost. $3,500. But I really want that wedding dress for $3,500. Then what?
Well, you basically take your budget and build it around your vision. What is your vision for your wedding? Is it you walking down the aisle in that dress? You can still do the wedding that you want and get the things you want. You can cut down a little on this and improve on that. You can get a DJ, you can have a band, a wedding band. Those days are gone, too. Those days were great days. The DJs do a great job, too. Music by Robert, who cut some spots here, is incredible. Also, if you really want to see a lot of vendors and get a lot of ideas, Autumn Dreams Bridal and Event Fair at the District Fairgrounds in the Shasta Building on September the 19th from 11 to 3. You can meet vendors. You can just...
get down and talk to you.
Yes.
Come down and talk to you and get your ideas on it. You've been doing this a long time.
Gosh, it's 20 years. 20 years now. I've been, maybe a little more. I've been dealing with weddings. And
well, what inspired you to do the bridal guide?
I had a catering company that was doing very, very well, and I wanted to do something different. So my wife looks up and says, a lot of brides don't know what's happening. Why don't you write 3 or 4 paragraphs and start giving it to them? 43 pages later, brides were walking into establishments with this and saying, this thing says this, do you have it? And people started to call me and say, can I get my message out? The excitement of doing this show is that I'm able to get the message out to a lot of brides, being able to answer their questions, having them call in and say, my gosh, this is happening, and what do you suggest, or what can we do together?
Again, September 12th at noon.
That's when we kick off that, and when Don kicks off his show, we're going to have, and then the weekend after that is the bridal.
Autumn Dreams Bridal and Event Fair.
There you go. I think, you know, when you approached us about this show, that there was, you know, we could see, again, something that would be of interest and of assistance to the community here. You know, it's like you said, 1,200 marriage licenses taken out, you know, hundreds of weddings taking place. There's got to be a place that people can call, that brides and grooms can call, to ask a question. And a lot of times they don't know which way to go. Well, here it's, you know, you just call the show and ask that question that, you know, it's a free answer.
One of the things that's really helping brides stay in budget and get everything they want is wedding packages. In a wedding package, the bride completely controls her wedding. Getting married, take away the stress with the ease of a complete wedding package. And yet you still maintain control and stay within the budget. And that's the important thing. It's like Linda said. What do you do when your dad says you've got $10 and you've got a $20 wedding budget in mind? So that's what we try and, if you'll pardon the pun, marry together.
Right.
Okay, we've got to take a quick break here. Our guest is Don Schulman from the Bridal Guide magazine, but also his new show, Bridal Talk, that premieres here on September 12th at high noon. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
Business owner like me, here's a little advice.
Little Earth, Wind, and Fire. Yeah, you feeling that? This is KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott here this morning with Don Schulman, who is going to start a new show called Bridal Talk. We're talking everything that can happen on that day, including Momzilla, Dadzilla, Sisterzilla.
An in-lawzilla.
I love
in-law-zilla.
It.
In-lawzilla.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. Espresso Joe's, if you're looking for that perfect cup of coffee. And darling girls that will fix it, Espresso Joe's is the place for you to go to. And, of course, Carl loves their walk-in humidor.
2143 Hilltop Drive. Joe and Shelley, great supporters of our community, great people.
All right, Don, at the break we were talking about something that you wanted to cover regarding more wedding information.
If they'd like to call me direct, it's 223-3868. But I'd rather have them call the show, and that way we can share with the other brides who may have the same questions.
Or you, parents that are like,
yes.
What am I going to do? And how about one of our listeners who is on the chat room that says that, how about organists and trumpets? I'm for hire.
Well, good. Let him give us a call on the 19th. I miss, even though DJs are fabulous, I miss the live music. I miss the wedding bands.
Right.
And what they can do. So that's always fun.
Right. There's a huge interaction with just live music. I'm with you.
And you might be surprised at some of the bands you can get there and how much they would charge for a 3-hour wedding. you know, to play. I mean, you know, there are good bands around that probably would not cost you an arm and a leg for that much money.
What's it cost these days to get a
DJ?
A wedding. I mean, a marriage license.
There are two ways to get it. You can, I think it's $75 here in Shasta County. You can also go to Anderson, and I think it's cheaper. You can get a marriage license in any county. It's good throughout the state. One quick story I want to say. I got a call from Oregon. Idaho. And they asked if I could come there and do the ceremony because I'd been at one of the weddings. So I called the registrar there in the town, and she said, I think so. Explained who I was, and I think you can do it. You better call the head person. So I called up and explained, I'm this, and I'm coming in. I want to do the ceremony. They said, sir, as long as they get their marriage license, we in Idaho don't care if a chicken does it. A lot of stories like that. A lot of good stories. A lot of funny stories.
I bet. Well, the show begins September 12th at noon. And, boy, I bet you the whole fun thing is going to be people calling in, like you said, and sharing their stories, asking questions, because nothing's really too over the top.
No.
It's a wedding. You can just imagine some over the top stuff that goes on at weddings.
Fun stuff. We can talk about later on in the show some of the things that have happened at the weddings.
Well, okay. Now, you know, Don, thank you so much for coming on today, and I think this is going to be a pretty interesting. I'm sure it's going to be an interesting show. There's so many people who've got so many questions. I mean, even I'm not planning on getting married ever again. So, but you know, there's a lot of questions that come up, and you think about what should I do to if I've been invited to the wedding, even. We're going to break now for the news, but when we come back, we've got we're going to break in a minute. Our guest is Mark Baird and a group of gentlemen who have come down from Siskiyou County to talk about what's going on with the water, to talk about how your private, your own private personal rights of property are being usurped by the government and how they are wasting the water that they are confiscating from private citizens in Siskiyou County. And Siskiyou County was just declared a natural disaster area because of lack of water, the drought, and the fact that water is being diverted. We have a few gentlemen that have come in today, and they're going to talk about that, about how what they're doing to fight to maintain their property rights and to carry it out a little bit further, your property rights, because this is not something that we can just stand by. Water is going to be the gold of the future. Forget your solar, forget your wind. Water's going to be the gold. Carl and DeBott, Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
You're listening to KCNR Shasta Redding.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. September 3rd, 8:06 in the morning. Our phone lines here are 530-605-4567. We're streaming at KCNR1460.com, so the people that are in France listening right now, feel free to give us a call. And we've had people from France call us. I'm seeing looks of bewilderment in our guests here. Chat room is open, so we can start on that, because I promise you that this hour will be something that you'll want to talk about and join in on.
We're also taking your calls at 605-4567. That's the hotline here in the studio. 605-4567. If you're online and you want to chat, don't worry about that box that says, you know, you got to put in a password and you think you're going to be tracked, because you aren't and you don't need to. Just click the box and boom, you're on. So we do have our chat room open and we're ready to roll.
Yeah, we track no one. Hey, our guest today,
Mark, we don't like being tracked, so we're not going to track you.
Yeah, we are. That's for sure. Mark Baird and Craig Chenoweth from Siskiyou County, and they're here to talk about water rights and property grab by the California Department of Fish and Game and also the Regional Conservation District. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning, Carl.
You know, Mark, when we invited you all down for this, it was before that the feds just said that Siskiyou County along that whole border up there has just been declared a natural disaster area because of drought and no water. Did this strike you as a surprise that this happened?
Well, it did strike us as a surprise because, quite frankly, we've had the best water year in 10 years in the Scott Valley and the Shasta Valley. There is some dryness in the upper Klamath Basin. Some of that's manufactured. Some of it's naturally occurring. But we haven't had irrigation water this good in probably 10 years in the Scott Valley.
So what do you think the purpose of that was?
Well, it's the purpose of all of this is money and power. And we have property rights in the form of water rights, and those are considered property in the state of California. They enjoy the same protection as your car or the soup in your pantry, and yet the California Department of Fish and Game wants to ignore the law, and they want to come and take that property. That's now, their agenda.
Now, how long have you been up there in Siskiyou County?
I've been in Siskiyou County just about 16 years.
Okay, and Craig, what about you?
I've been in Siskiyou County about 7 years, and it was about 2 years ago when I was approached by the Department of the Conservation, RCD, Conservation Resource Conservation District, about signing on to a program for a water-wide permitting program that was also going to look into the 1600 program. 2 years ago, when I looked at this contract that they wanted me to sign, it was open-ended and vague, and I couldn't believe that anybody would want to sign something like this.
Can you give an example of this?
Well, basically what they wanted me to do was sign up for a program with Fish and Game about regulating, having Fish and Game regulating my adjudicated water rights. And right there, the red light went off because I understand that my adjudicated water rights are tied to my property rights, and this is not something I want a state agency to get involved with. So first and foremost, I went to an attorney to ask about what was going on with this. And after some good legal advice, I kind of made sure that I stayed away from that program, track it and monitor it. Over the last 2 years, this program has been developed, and it from Fish and Game on one side, with a regional conservation district on the other side implementing this program. And what was really interesting to see now today is the threats and the outright coercion that they have now moved into like a Gestapo tactic on trying to get us to sign up for this program.
Now, that's a pretty harsh statement, Gestapo tactics. I have, you know, been in the military and in a study of history. I think of Gestapo tactics being strong-armed, coming onto your property without you saying anything, you know, those kind of things. Has it reached that level?
Carl, Linda, if you didn't know about this, if you didn't see the documentation that I have right in front of me, and we have internal Fish and Game documents, they're hiding behind the cloak of environmentalism. They claim they want to save the fish. We have videotaped accounts of armed Fish and Game wardens threatening landowners if they fail to sign up for the voluntary permitting process. We have accounts of Fish and Game sneaking around on people's property, hiding in the bushes. We have accounts of Fish and Game telling people, go ahead and fill in that irrigation ditch. That farmer is never going to use that water right again. We have accounts of Fish and Game doing construction projects on people's property without asking their permission. I have a document that shows that Fish and Game has been engaged in the practice of killing coho salmon in violation of a federal environmental listing for over 20 years. And then the year after that, well, what do you know? They listed the fish as endangered.
Okay. You know, we've got to take a break here. It's nothing like starting out with a few broadsides here. You know, I mean, it's not, you know, I like the subtle way we've snuck up on this subject here. Our guests are Mark Baird and Craig Chenoweth. We're talking about water rights and personal rights up in Siskiyou County, but how that could spread down to here if it continues up there. Carl and DeBott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Well, it's Carl and Linda Bott, 8:13 in the morning. This portion of the show is brought to you by B&T Satellite. Off Airport Road, Doug Tooley. Been in business there since 1985, except when he took time out to be in the 82nd Airborne. He's a local guy. He does Dish TV, does surround sound, he does home theater systems. This man guarantees his work. And if you know any questions, you give Doug a call at 244-1988. We use Doug. We're very happy in the service that he's provided us in our home.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking about something we cannot live without, and that's water. Our guests this morning are Mark Baird and Craig Chenoweth. Welcome back to the show. And for those of you who get the searchlight today, on page 3A, U.S. declares Siskiyou County a disaster area. Now, gentlemen, before the break, we were talking about a program. Could you tell us more about this program that is it really a program?
The watershed-wide permitting process, it was a name concocted by Fish and Game. And what it does is it combines three very old water laws. First, the Lake and Streambed Alteration Agreement, which is a 50-year-old water law. Well, Fish and Game has reinterpreted that law to include the activity of turning on your water. And if you sign up for this contract that they propose in order to give you permission to turn on the water, you then subject yourself to a state agency contract which requires you comply with CEQA and requires you comply with an ITP permit, and that could run as high as $30,000 per diversion in California. They picked Siskiyou County as the poster child because, quite frankly, they perceive us as weak and stupid. And if they get away with it in Siskiyou County, this program will be headed here. It will be headed throughout California. The money and power will flow forever to Fish and Game.
What people really need to understand is that by signing up for this program through the Regional Conservation District, you are giving the Department of Fish and Game the authority to regulate your water. I don't know about you, but my feeling about government-run agriculture kind of scares me to death.
And Craig, you know, you're not what you would call a empire builder in the sense of destruction of things. I mean, you're a dyed-in-the-wool environmentalist, and this is where, I mean, you believe in taking care of the environment, taking care of yourself. When you introduced yourself to us today, so it's kind of like the right for you to conserve your water is not because it's a selfish thing, it's because it's the right thing to do. It's your property rights are being usurped.
When I bought my ranch, and my life has come full circle as to where I am today and the many things I've done. Today I am a dedicated environmentalist. I'm an organic beef producer. I bought a ranch that has two adjudicated water rights. I understand the fundamental responsibility that goes along with that on creating a healthy and alive habitat for everything to flourish on my property. I've got about 456 acres nestled up there in Scott Valley, and I want to take care of it so it thrives, it lasts forever, and it is a working, profitable ranch. The word sustainability has been used a lot today in terms of resources and economy, but the word profitability has been left out. I believe today that profitable, sustainable agriculture will maintain open space. When you take the profitability out of it, look at the land around Redding. They took the profitability, they ran the land into the ground, the economy dumped with it, and guess what? Now it's all been subdivided, and it's all been put back into housing. This isn't a great way to take care of the land or the environment. The concept that I work with very strongly on my ranch is to balance the economy that I need to be sustainable and profitable, and also for all the animals and the birds and the fishes and everything else that I have. Remember that the Siskiyou County Regional Conservation District and the Department of Fish and Game are pushing the incidental take permit to save the fish. This has never, ever been about saving fish. They can't prove it. They can't document it. Everything that they want us to do under this program will never save the fish. This is about the control of water on private land. If you control the water on private land, you control the land use. If you control the land use, you control the land value, and if you control the land value, you control who owns the land. For 20 years, there's been a very active environmental push to remove everybody out of the Siskiyou area north of Redding. They would like to see us gone. They have maps with red and yellow zones on them, which say if you live here, you better be prepared to move.
Now, who's they?
The environmentalists.
Okay, but environmentalists are... There are people just on the outside. You're not saying this is a government plan
to
move people out.
Carl, this document, I'm sorry to interrupt you, document was prepared by Cal Trout and the Nature Heritage Society, and they wrote this document so that Fish and Game could model the 1600 program in the way that agreed with their agenda. And this is a letter written to the Commissioner of Fish and Game in 2009 in order to prepare the way so that the environmentalist agenda could be fulfilled through fish passage, dam removal, and Section 1600 modifications to hinder and hamper landowners so that we would be unable to produce agricultural products on our property.
Now, I understand, and we're going to have to take a break here in a minute. I understand is that with this, with the new permits It's like $15,000 every time you want to divert the water or use the water that's on your property in a different way.
Well, for example, my water right was recorded in Mining Book Number 1 of Siskiyou County, April of 1859. The Fish and Game is now saying that for the past 50 years, I've been in violation of the law, and the act of turning on the water requires me to enter a contract with some incredibly astronomical fees. And some of those fees, by the way, are open-ended. They won't even tell you how much they are until after you sign.
So they want to take your rights to use the water that you had been passed down through generations then?
Yes, sir.
That's the time to take a break. We are taking your call, 605-4567. Wow. Okay. You're listening to it right here on KCNR 1460. We'll see you after this break.
Timberline.
North State. You're listening to Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. And sometimes we're talking about subjects that are just brutally, just in your face, cold. And right now, we're going to talk about the weather, first of all. It's 68 degrees. If you're just tuning in, it's going to be 101 today. Weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. Our guest is Mark Baird and Craig Chenoweth, and we're talking about the water and what's happening up in Siskiyou County. And I'm kind of numb with the staggering statistics. You guys have loads of information there. And at the break, we were saying, well, where do you get your numbers? And Craig, share with our listeners what you said.
Basically, where we found our statistics are in the Fish and Game record books. We have subpoenaed a lot of under the Freedom of Information Act, we have requested a lot of information, which is getting this stuff. And most of it is all a public record because it is a state agency. So we've gone through this to take a look at what Fish and Game has been trying to accomplish, and this has been a very difficult time for us.
This document that I have right here details the systematic killing of coho salmon by Fish and Game personnel over about the last 25 years in violation of Federal Endangered Species Act. They've been engaged in these practices. They engage in practices such as they release the fingerlings at the same time, coho fingerlings, at the same time they release much larger Chinook salmon from the hatchery, and the Chinook salmon turn around and eat the fingerlings of the coho salmon. They've used pulsing water to trick fish to coming up the river. They've accused farmers and ranchers of stranding fish, when in fact there is some information to lead us to believe that illegal meth labs dumping poison in the river to cover their tracks is killing the fish. But what it is right now, the environmental community thinks that if farmers and ranchers stopped using water immediately, the earth would heal itself and the fish would automatically come back, and that is just plain not the case.
What's important to understand up in Scott Valley and in Shasta Valley in Siskiyou County is that these are warm water tributaries. They were never designed to have this type of fish in it. Every once in a while, Mother Nature, in her good humor, would create the right conditions for fish to take a right turn and come up Scott Valley or Shasta Valley into our streams. They were never the dominant fish in these tributaries. But let's digress a minute right back to the point of why we're here today. What is happening to us through Fish and Game, through the Regional Conservation District, two state agencies, is they are trying to take away our property rights. This is not about fish. This is about the control of water on private land. And what is most important for us to recognize, and our government has been very blatant in making sure that we understand that we no longer have rights. Our rights are being turned into privileges, and privileges can be revoked. When the head of our regional conservation district started to sell this program up in Siskiyou County, he likened our water rights to a driver's license, saying, oh, you have to insure it, you have to pay for it, you know, when you get a new one. Well, let me tell you something. A driver's license is a privilege that can be revoked.
One of the things we talked about during the break here is we talked about how, you know, we were given this amount of water to use from, yes, it is state water or federal water, but we have the right to use this much water. We've been given this right. We were given this right when we first bought the land. We can use this much. And somebody else asked the question, well, yeah, but that's the state of California owns it, but they also, can't you say they also own your property? Well, the part about that is, and what we believe is, the state of California, this is your property. They can't take it without a long process. But if they start taking away your means of doing of making your livelihood, if they take away your water, now they've taken away your property. And this is the fear that you know, once you seize your water rights or charge you so much that you can't use them, they now own your property.
Carl, that's very correct. And the reason for that is, when you think about it, the right to use the water is what we own. The water itself belongs to the state, but we own the right to use that water. Now, when you think about it, the only thing contained within a water right is the right to use the water. So if Fish and Game, through these permits, denies you your right to use the water, they, in fact, have taken that property. Now, you have to ask yourself, people in town here, they're sitting in their homes, they're eating breakfast, drinking coffee, hopefully listening to your show today. They're secure in their property. Their pantry is safe. Their car is safe. Well, ask yourself why. Well, why? Because the government doesn't want what they have. Why is our property in an agricultural rural setting used to produce food for this country and the world? Why is that property not as secure as someone sitting in a townhome in New York City? The answer is because the government wants what we have, and
they
that's
want water.
They want water.
You know, in following us along, we've had many of our roads right up here in the forest, in the Shasta Trinity Forest, have been put off limits now to people to use, and it's been done under the guise of, well, you know, the roads aren't being maintained, which is a lot of argument about that. The whole, every one of the county supervisors has said, we want this to be revisited. And Sharon Haywood has, who heads up the department, and who knows where, what kind of decision making she's being done, or she does, or other people, have now put these roads off limits, no matter what anybody says. So
we've got about a minute till break, so we've got a caller we're going to ask to please hold on to the other side of the break.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure the information will be wonderful.
It's going to take longer than
that. I also wanted to ask you about, I think you mentioned something with your fees, something about CESHA?
Oh, CEQA, California Environmental Quality Assessment. And that's a very important aspect of this permitting program, and without CEQA, they can't make this work. They need us to voluntarily sign those rights over so they can subject us to CEQA, the ITP, and the LSAA agreement.
Okay, let's hold that one, because we got to take a break, but that's a good point. They've got, you've got to sign it, and then they can take it. Okay, and now are they going to force you to do that? Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. We're talking water. What if they want yours? Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, 8:33 in the morning. What a great morning, September 3rd. This portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop off of Athens Avenue, D.C. Tim and the Man in Black. I tell you what, you want a haircut, you want a fair price, they're the ones to go to. They kind of lean a little bit to the right, but that's okay. You just lean a little bit to the left and it comes out even. Man's last stronghold. You walk in there, there's heads on the wall. And some of them we don't even recognize. That's Athens Avenue, Cypress Square Barbershop, Man's Last Stronghold. No styling going on there, just good haircuts.
Our show this morning is about water rights and what's happening up in Siskiyou County. This is not just about Siskiyou County. This is also something that we all need to pay very close attention to, because it can and will affect us. And we want to welcome back our guests, Mark Baird and Craig Chenoweth. And let's go to the phones right now. We have a caller on line one.
Good morning. Good morning. You're on KCNR 1460.
Good morning, Carl and Linda. Thank you so much for bringing this topic up, because a lot of people don't know what's going on in Siskiyou County, and things like over in Klamath Falls made national news. But things like on NPR, for instance, but it's usually got an environmental slant to it. I never hear anything about what it really means to the people in general. I have a couple comments, actually, and then a couple questions for the guests. One is, I have personal experience with all of this that's going on. Remember when National Marine Fisheries came through and tried to do their magic, and the folks in Siskiyou County got labeled as paper Nazis because they wrote so many letters to National Marine Fisheries, and these weren't form letters. These were people writing real letters complaining about the whole thing. And my comment is that even Fish and Game, the fear and intimidation that's going on It's very scary where they scare people with saying, if you don't do this and pay this much money, you will lose your rights, and then they intimidate you into possibly signing away the form that the guests were just talking about it. And my two questions are, what are the chances that Siskiyou County is the test bed again, just like it was for National Marine Fisheries? And the second question, let's see, now I forgot that one. I need it. I'll take and answer the first one while I think of the second one.
Okay, the first question was about the being a test bed, right?
Right. What's the chances of Siskiyou County being a test bed again, with this time with Fish and Game instead of with NIMS?
Hi, Brenda. This is Craig Chenoweth, and I want to answer that for you, is that, yes, we are being used as a test pilot for the rest of the state of California. I'd like to direct you to pienpolitics.com. That's pienpolitics.com. This is our website. We have formed a small grassroots organization called the Scott Valley Protect Our Water, and we are moving very rapidly to fight against Fish and Game, the Conservation District, and anyone else that's going to come after our property rights through water. Again, remember, this has never been about fish. It's always been about the water and how to take it back for the state or the feds.
Our position in Scott Valley is that we are a civil disobedience group. We have no structure. It's that way intentionally. People can come and go as they feel how much they believe in our cause. We will not submit. We will not sign these permits. We will not give our property or our liberty to Fish and Game or anyone else. We will stand upon the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California, and we will fight to hold on to this water and our property rights.
And basically, you can get to pienpolitics.com, get to the website, go to the contact list, and email us or call us. And let's get more information out to the folks who are going to be affected, first and most in Siskiyou County, but the rest of you here in Redding. If you flush a toilet or turn on a faucet, this is going to affect your lives. Remember, without water, there is no life.
You know.
Okay, how's it? Go ahead, Brenda.
Oh, I just remembered my second question, and that was basically, if you were to, if not you, if the water rights in the Scott Valley are essentially taken away from the people there, that will absolutely destroy the economy of the area. There's no way people can continue to exist there. Like you said, Carl was mentioning the right to earn a living off your land. You can't do it in the Scott Valley without water.
This is very intentional, Brenda. This is what they're trying to do. Under the Scott Valley plan, if the economy collapses without the water, and trust me, they will never give us enough water to irrigate for our crops and raise our cattle.
Oh, yeah.
If the economy collapses, it's in the Scott Valley plan that the land can be subdivided and just cut up into pieces. It's all about money, because if you follow the money and you change the tax base in Siskiyou County in terms of dividing up and selling the land, our supervisors go from $39,000 a year to $150,000 a year. So who's going to be supporting this when you look at how is the money going to flow?
You know,
and who's going to buy this land?
Yeah,
for what?
Well, one of the things, you say the Scott Valley plan, and we've said that. Is this in this plan that you're talking about, when you cut it off and cutting up the land, where is that?
The Scott Valley plan is basically a zoning plan in Scott Valley in order to protect agricultural production and a rural way of life. And this
right.
zoning plan was enacted many, many years ago. And the only way to change the Scott Valley plan is if agriculture ceases as a
okay,
viable
I see
industry.
What you mean now. Okay, so and once you take away the water, that's it. Now, where was the when they cut the water off down in the was it in the Joaquin Valley or someplace, and they put people completely out of business, all the farmers.
Wasn't that Fresno?
Yeah. Bakersfield
yeah.
area.
Yeah, they just and people that had farms for you know through decades and through families just they cut the water out and that was it for them. They went on. Practically went on welfare there.
They did the same thing in the Klamath Basin several years ago on the Federal Reclamation Project, cut the water off to the farmers up there, and then about 200,000 of us showed up and had a little protest in Klamath Basin. Well, they turned the water back on very quickly because they didn't want to arrest all of us. But the way that worked out was some of the special interest groups in the Klamath Basin and some of the big irrigators got together, and they came up with the Klamath Basin Agreement and the hydro settlement, and now their proposal is to save their own hides by pulling out all the dams on the Klamath River and throwing Siskiyou County and several other counties downstream to the wolves.
Okay. We're going to have to take a break. We've got people on the line. We'll take a quick break here and we'll come back. Kay, you're up right after this break. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460.
In a
back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. It is 8:43 in the morning, September 3rd. Phone lines here are 530-605-4567. Jump in the chat room. We've got some hot little chatters going there, but let's go to the phones. Kay, good morning. You're on KCNR.
Hi, Carl and Linda.
Good morning.
This is a very interesting program. I'm glad that you're having these gentlemen on, and I'm glad that they're fighting for it, too, and not sitting back and letting the government walk over them. I was wondering, just out of curiosity, is your ranch very close to the Parker Ranch?
I don't know of the Parker Ranch, so I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, you know, it's interesting because a lot of property that was taken over by Bank of America during the Depression lost its water rights. They lost their water rights and mineral rights. The Bank of America kept them. That's a very common thing that happened around Redding.
What's important to understand is that any time there is a government take, whether it be water or be land, that land now is going back to the government to manage. So if you can imagine what Obama healthcare is going to look like, and then you're going to look at how the water is going to be managed, this is what scares us and got us up off our keisters to get involved. It's important that people understand the government still does work for us. These are elected officials that we have to hold accountable. And if we have to remove them one by one, just like we did with Gray Davis or anybody else, our county supervisors, our city council, it's important for people to get involved and stand up for their constitutional rights.
You're very correct, and everybody needs to realize that it's not just your problem. It's all of our problems, and we need to help you out.
That's true. I'm sorry, Kay, go on.
Oh, I was just going to say, keep up the good work, and I know you'll have people down here who will want to help you out, too.
Yeah. Okay, Kay, thank you so much.
Let's go to another caller. Good morning. Jeff, you are on KCNR.
Good morning, Carl. Good morning, gentlemen. I wondered if either one of you guys had been down into Sawyer's Bar. I met with my brothers yesterday, and my grandparents used to live down there and actually owned the post office and the property it was on. But they said I wouldn't even recognize Sawyer's Bar now, that it's pretty much everybody's been moved out, and it's more like a natural conservatory down there. And I just wonder if that was a takeover. If I'm going to drive up there within the next 3 or 4 weeks and see for myself, but
absolutely.
I'm pretty shocked at that.
You're right, Jeff, and it has been. A lot of people have moved out because it's just become an environmentalist enclave down there. And there's a lot of people who are fighting against us for what we want to preserve as far as our rights. And I think it's important to understand that as we move forward with water, there has to be an important balance here, not only between the environment, but between the economy as well. As a dedicated environmentalist and an organic beef producer, that's what I do for a living. I want to create a new environment that is healthy and wealthy and wise as to terms of how we're all going to live together. One of the problems that we've had with the state and federal agencies that have attacked us on this level is basically that we have never been given the option to come to the table where it is a fair and level playing field. And for us, this is very important to find that we will not compromise on any of this. And it's extortion when they come at us on this level. We would like to come to the table with our property rights and our water rights guaranteed. We will come with our time, our energy, and our resources to solve these problems.
You know, one of the things that you mentioned was that the Fish and Game Department, and for this to happen, you have to sign a piece of paper.
That's correct.
That's correct, right? Okay, and you say that the Fish and Game Department has been coming in, and you say there's been threats, there's been what?
Well, Carl, we've had several informational workshops conducted by the Northern Regional Director of Fish and Game, who we have since been instrumental in helping him out of his job, by the way. He has been replaced, though. Our agenda hasn't changed. We've been threatened verbally in meetings. with fines, with prosecution, and as you probably...
This is fines if you don't sign it?
That's correct. Fines if you don't sign up. And remember, PC 519 through about 26 is the definition of extortion. Whenever a peace officer or public official uses threats or intimidation or threats of prosecution in order to gain money or signatures, that is a crime.
So they're saying, you're saying, look, I'm not going to sign it, and if I don't sign it because I don't want to give up my rights to do this, what right do they have to do that? I mean, how can they do that?
Well, they have no right to do it, but the point is, an official like that, in other words, if this was the law, they would simply send you the permit and you pay the fee. But it isn't. They need your signature on this contract, and you have to volunteer that signature. So the fact that they are representing that the state wants permits, when in fact the state does not want some of those permits, that is a crime under PC 146B. The fact that a police officer or a public official threatens you with a prosecution or fines in order to gain your money or your signature, that's the very definition of extortion.
All right, let's go to the website one more time. I mean, we are going to post it, but people who are listening or coming through the chat room. I'm looking at the words, but you have them. Let's just say it out loud.
Sure. It's pieinpolitics.com.
Will you spell that, Craig?
It is P-I-E, the letter N, and politics, P-O-L-I-T-I-C-S.com. We pronounce it Pie in Politics. The Pie in Politics movement started about a year and a half ago when we figured out to discuss politics, it was a lot easier over a piece of pie and a cup of coffee, where we could actually sit down and communicate with people.
Yeah.
And our website has all the information of what we've been doing, how we've been doing it, and where we're going.
Jeff, are you still on?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I wanted to make one more point.
Okay, I'm sorry, Jeff.
You want to talk about water control. The state has already threatened us about putting meters on our wells and charging us and controlling the amount of water we use within the state. That's every well in the state. Fortunately, I think that's been pretty much knocked back, but I don't think it's off the table yet.
Well, sir, there is a new front coming to us, a new battle in Siskiyou County right now. We've been sued by an outfit called the River Keepers and an environmental self-interest group called the Pacific North Coastal Fishermen's Representation Association or something. And what they're charging is that groundwater connectivity, in other words, the ability to connect your well to a nearby river or stream, is impeding the public trust, which means if you use too much water out of your well, then somebody in a raft cannot float down a river because the theory is your well is drying up the river. Now, if you think that's ridiculous, I agree with you, but that is actually a fact, and it's happening in Siskiyou County right now.
So, Jeff, you're right. It may not be on, you know, the legislature's little bills right now, but it's amazing how laws can be made off of finding the right judge.
Yes. So,
and it's scary.
But we also need to remember that in 1775, 90 Americans stood off 900 British regulars, and they won the day, and we won a country. We can do it again, but we need to stick together. We need to stop being lazy. We need to pay attention, and we need to act.
Well, I know up in Happy Camp, there's a mining group called the 49ers, and they had been challenged by a tribe up there, and they had won several times in court, and the Indians finally went down to San Francisco and got a liberal judge to overturn everything, and that's the reason we don't have dredging right now. So Siskiyou County, it's always been the hotbed.
Yeah. Okay, Jeff, we're going to take a break here. Thanks so much for your phone call.
Okay.
You bet. Okay, now we have to take a quick break before we come back in our last segment. Our guests are Mark Baird and Craig Chenoweth. We're talking water grabs. We're talking by a department of the fishing game. Or
and
by the
why is U.S., why does the U.S. declare Siskiyou County a disaster area? We'll be taking your calls when we come back, 605-4567. This is Carla Lindebot here on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
Hi, this is...
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carla Lindebot, the home of Free Fire Media. Our guests are Mark Baird and Craig Chenoweth. We were talking the attempted water grab up in Siskiyou County, and this, if it works there, and their contention is, it can work everywhere. So, now how many people are involved in this fight that you've got?
Right now, we just had a rally up at the Siskiyou County Fairgrounds. We had a little over 500 people come out for a wonderful evening.
500 people. Now, how many people are in Siskiyou County? 700? No, I'm just kidding.
About 40,000 of them, but most of them are state and federal agencies, right. Workers, employees.
500 people is a lot of people, though, I mean, for a meeting like this.
It was absolutely a wonderful turnout. We had wonderful speakers. We had Holly Swanson come down and talk about the Green Agenda. We had our Assemblyman Jim Nielsen come and speak with us about how he's been helping us champion this water fight. We've been looking at a lot of this stuff. But what we're looking at here is why we're being attacked in Siskiyou County, and the rest of the state doesn't have to deal with this. Remember that the people here in Redding are next. This is going to be a pilot program for the rest of the state. And what is important for the users who flush a toilet, turn on a faucet, is that you too will be affected by this. The government wants the control, and one of the most interesting control factors that has been used in every terrorizing event in the world history is if you control the water, you control the people.
Okay, well, in the article today that is from the Associated Press, it talks about there's a gentleman there by the name of Gary Derry who says he's from Oregon, but he says 20% of his alfalfa farming operation has gone dry, and so what they're trying to do is relocate people, like you said, with loans. That's what this is talking about. Of course, this article about Siskiyou County as the disaster area. We have to just tie up this really informative hour here and closing thoughts on where we should go from here.
Where we should go from here is just basically we need to stand up for our constitutional rights. Our county governments, our state government, and our federal government are very determined to minimize our constitutional rights. We have constitutional rights on the federal level, and here in the state of California, we have constitutional rights.
Yes, we do. And Article 1, Section 1 of the California Constitution gives us the right to possess and defend our property. Article 5 of the United States Constitution, Article 14 of the United States Constitution, Article 1, Section 19 of California's Constitution. The conversation really should stop right here. They are barred and prohibited. These protections were put in place to prevent the excess of government against the people whom they are supposed to serve. And we need to stop this, and we need to stop it right now.
You know, we started out our program today talking about how the Second Amendment was under attack, but in this last assembly, three laws that were onerous laws that criminals never pay attention to, the registration of long guns, added restrictions on buying ammunition, and the carrying of a non-loaded weapon were struck down, or did not make it through the assembly. All of these little bites here, little bites there, and now this is really, to me, this is a big bite, and I just have a visceral feeling. I don't like the Department of Fish and Game coming to me and telling me, you need to sign this or I'm going to make your life miserable, give up your rights, and that at some point I'm going to tell you how much water you can have.
Carl, it's worse than that. They're coming to us and they're saying, if you don't sign this, we will subject you to $25,000 fine and jail you.
Well, you know, we're going to have somebody on here, we just heard, is that somebody that cleaned out a ditch on his own property down in Sonoma County, had to plead guilty to a felony, and was under house arrest for 90 days. He just got off house arrest. He had that little beeper thing on on his wrist or his ankle, because he cleaned out a ditch that was on his property, and it came down on him like this. You know, when you hear things like this, my friends, it is happening. It's happening in our state, and it's happening throughout our country. And you have to make a stand. You have to make a stand, because if you don't, the next time you flush your toilet, it costs you a dollar.
Don't sleep through this one.
Senator Pavely from Santa Monica has introduced a bill, SB 565, where she wants to establish a fee structure on all water users so that they can get going a water police force, an armed water police force.
Well, you know, it's flatlanders. You know, they want to keep watering the golf courses. They want to keep watering the desert. And the way they do that is they take the water that's up here in the North State. I'm not going to say it's our water. But you have rights. You have rights that were given to you that you bought to have the water. And to have people take it away, to control it, to destroy your way of life for a golf course in Palm Springs is not correct.
Even the Fish and Game does not deny that the water is a property right. They don't deny that. They're just trying to find another way to take it.
It's all about a loophole in terms of the take of water. And what's important to understand is that through the Constitution of the United States of America and under the California constitutional rights that we have that are guaranteed for us, our own government is turning their back on them. Folks, there's nothing more that I can say more adamantly than hold your elected officials accountable. Hold their feet to the fire, and if they don't produce on that level, recall them. This is our constitutional rights. Our government is set up for us, not them.
You know, I think that's a good way to kind of end this side. Free Fire Radio, community radio. We want to be the voice. We want to be able to get the word out. We stream all over the world. We stream all over the United States. This show will be archived, so if people want to listen to it, they can come in here and can hear it. Thank you very much.
We thank you for the opportunity to speak. We have very little voice in these matters. We're doing the best we can. We're just a bunch of people trying to fight for our rights.
Okay.
Go for it. Keep going for it.
We've always got a voice here.
Thank you.
You know, we're back. It's going to be next week. We've got a number of politicians coming in. We have people running for our offices. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
You're listening to KCNR, Shasta Redding.